And now we can be a little bit more specific, because we're going to talk and speak about climbing another mountain, climbing God's mountain. Centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah predicted that there will come a day and a time that people will seek to be taught God's ways and to walk in God's paths. And when that happens, nations will no longer have wars amongst themselves and will seek to walk in the light of God. So let us now read and listen to the prophet Isaiah's prediction centuries even before the birth of Christ. Isaiah 2 verses 2 through 5. There is a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. And they'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. You know, this is maybe one of the most wonderful lines, verses that I've ever read in the Bible in all the different translations. He'll show us the way he works so that we can live the way that we are truly made. Zion's the source of the revelation. God's message comes from Jerusalem. He'll settle things fairly between nations, and he'll make things right between many peoples. And they'll turn their swords into shovels and spears into hoes. No more will nation fight nation. They won't play war anymore. Come, family of God, let's live in the light of God. Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Brothers, sisters in Christ, the number of lives lost and families shattered from Hurricane Sandy is still continuing to climb, with the death toll now at more than 110. And our prayers and our love and our care go out to the hurting masses. For those of us with friends and family up north, this reality strikes even deeper. In the face of so much loss, pain and suffering, all our lives are touched in different ways. I do know that some of you here in church this morning is concerned about what's happening up north. You may know somebody up there. You may have family up there. For myself, that was the first church that we served in New Jersey many years ago, for 5 years, in the Mountain Lakes. And it is that relationship with the north that makes us conscious that it could have happened to us. It can still happen to us. And when all other rocks are washed away, will we still have a rock to stand upon? Across the world, looming conflicts in Asia, uprising and revolts in the Arab world, poverty and hunger across Africa are causing the suffering of untold millions. Can we just say, thank God, they're far away. I do not know anybody there, so I couldn't care less. How do we respond to the reality of these times that we are living in? Cries of pain, agony, and heartbreak are rising up in a thousand places, defying all human description. The demise and horror of so many fellow human beings have numbed our minds and overpowered us with frightening statistics. What a picture I just painted. Therefore, may we experience inner peace and an awareness of God's healing presence, leading us to wholeness of mind and spirit, here and now. You can please feel free, you can just take her out, and there is a mother's room where you still can see and hear everything. Don't worry about that, folks. I was just telling them before church, we now have a three-week-old one in our family, so we know, they know the times that they're living in. So may all of us experience inner peace and an awareness of God's healing presence, leading us to wholeness of mind and spirit here and now, as we worship and prepare to celebrate and receive the tokens of God's love and forgiveness. John's Gospel tells us how Jesus rescued a street woman from a howling mob and sent her on her way to sin no more and reach for a better tomorrow. Jesus long ago set an example that convinced many that he was indeed the light so long expected and foretold by Isaiah. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The question before us, how do we follow Jesus out of the darkness and into the light? You know, the early church fathers already struggled with this question. So they coined a phrase simply saying, "Imago Christi," literally translated as the example of Jesus Christ. So you can be sure that what I'm sharing with you at this moment was part of the message of the Christian church for a full 2,000 years. We know enough of whom Jesus was, how he lived, what he taught, and also what he sacrificed to provide us with a lasting model of how to live, yeah, and even a model of how to die. In our time, some Christians have turned this secret of how to escape darkness and walk into the light into a haunting question. Some 2-3 years ago, you saw so many teenagers and even older people with the little armbands saying WWJD. And they did that on a purpose. They was hoping people would ask them, what does it mean, WWJD? Of course, what would Jesus do? Now, I'm not suggesting that for any one of us, because that question then opened the door for them for a discussion. We can explain it as imagine Christ, or see Christ's example in your heart and follow him. And that's so much at the core of our Christianity, that we often, when we reach into the unknown, when we are dealing with a difficult situation, when we do not know what to do with our restless minds, we still wonder, what would the example of Christ be? what would he have done in my situation? So we have become bearers of a message that can change the world. It's a message that we are called to communicate to a world currently careening out of control. Christ, we believe, is the light of the world. That says that it is not about greed. It's not about lust. It's not about hatred. It's not about revenge. It is about concern for the least and the lowest. It is about simplicity. It's about beauty. It's about love. It's about nations beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It's about lives of righteousness, harmony, and peace. And he is also the one who brings light into our lives as individuals. The message that Christ is the light of the world is a very personal message of hope and encouragement. You see, many of you have heard sermons throughout your life, as you're once again doing this morning. But the story of Jesus is ultimately not so much a pulpit matter. It's a very, very personal story. It claims a very special place in our hearts. There is something so very appealing about a simple decision to follow Jesus as a Savior, as a teacher, and as a Lord. As Christians, we believe and hope that there will be victory eventually of light over darkness, love over hatred, peace over war. We believe and we pray with all our hearts that someday Christ shall indeed reign over all. They are part of the same package. If you believe that God has intervened in human history to reveal God's will and ways and his plan for creation, then you also believe that the world as we know it is not God's last word. History has direction and purpose. We believe that there is a kingdom coming that will be alive and well and shall one day extend its sovereignty over everything that lives and moves and has its being. And that is the kingdom of God. The anticipation of that kingdom gives us hope in the midst of our deepest despair. I still believe, that was part of my first sermon from this pulpit almost 12 years ago. Have I changed? No. I still believe with all my heart that the same light that has penetrated the darkness will one day expel the darkness. That our faith and our labor for Christ will not be in vain. Right now, there are many, even followers of Jesus Christ, who still have to learn the real meaning of who Jesus really was. I believe that one day the light will break through and that the day is coming when we, who discovered in Jesus enough light to live by, that we will one day stop playing this superficial game of religion that so many are playing. That someday we will abandon the ways of darkness. Oh, and I still believe that one day God's children will hurt each other no more, and that the light of the world will shine into every remaining speck of darkness in our midst. And maybe that is the promise. That is the message of this communion table for you and for me. Come then. This is your reminder of the greatest sacrifice ever made. Come now. This table is prepared with bread and wine for you, for me, as we still celebrate God's presence in our lives and in our midst. Amen.